One of my favorite hymns, and I have quite a few favorites that have been near and dear to me ever since I was just a boy, and this is one of them, Wonderful Peace. Do you sing this in your own church? Do you know it? Some of the best words. Far away in the depths of my spirit today rose a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls, o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. I'm resting today in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control, for I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. This is speaking of the peace that Jesus gives, not as the world gives, said the Lord. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world gives peace when everything is going just the way you want it to go. But when everything goes in reverse, it withdraws its peace. Jesus gives peace regardless of the circumstances. If you're prospering or if you're failing, if things are working out beautifully or everything's going haywire in your life, if your heart is right with God and you're walking in step with Him, you will have that wonderful peace. There's an interesting story that tells us the origin of this hymn, and we have the Methodists to thank for being used of God to give us this great hymn. It originated at a Methodist camp meeting near West Bend, Wisconsin, in August of 1889. The pastor of that area was W.G. Cooper and the evangelist W.D. Cornell, and they were having a camp meeting. The meeting was one described as charged with spiritual power felt by all who enter the campgrounds. Noise was hushed into quietness, and confusion was quelled into orderliness. The evangelist, Reverend Cornell, was a born poet, as well as a preacher of exceptional ability. His diction was perfect, and his language poetic and beautiful. His spoken sentences flowed like a clear, sparkling brook, they say. One day, while seated in the tent, Reverend Cornell, as he had been in prayer and in deep introspection, wrote down the thoughts with which his mind had been busied. Those thoughts that he wrote down later proved to be parts of this hymn, Wonderful Peace. When he arose, he dropped the written verses on the tent floor and went out. And that's when the pastor came in, Reverend Cooper. He entered the tent about an hour or two later, and he discovered that piece of paper on the floor of the tent. Reverend Cooper was fascinated by the theme and the accompanying verses, and it so fitted his own thinking that he filled in and completed the poem. Then, sitting down at the organ, he composed the melody as it has since been sung. This hymn, then, is the essence of an evangelistic camp meeting, so harmonious in work and endued with spiritual power that in the hearts of its leaders it flowered into wonderful peace. And the world has been singing it ever since. It was born in August of 1889 near West Bend, Wisconsin, at an old-fashioned Methodist camp meeting. Dear friend, do you have that peace of Jesus today? Whether you're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, no church affiliation at all, whoever, wherever you are, if you open your heart to the Lord Jesus and really and truly look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, repent of your sins, make things right with God, get down to business with living life the way you know God wants you to live it, clear the air, let there be nothing between you and your Savior, and give Him your utmost for His highest. Say yes to Him, and you'll have that peace. I don't think you will ever enjoy the fullness of his peace as long as there is some idol sitting on the throne of your heart. As long as there is something to which you are captive, you've got to turn loose of everything. Jesus wants to be Lord of all, or he does not want to be Lord at all. That's just how he is. God is a jealous God. He wants no rival. No one competing for his affection. He wants all of our heart, all of our love. And you know, when we do, and we give the Lord all of our heart, he gives to us all of his peace. A peace that the Bible says passes all understanding.
Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Far away in the depths of my spirit,
this very day, fill our hearts and minds and emotions and thoughts with his peace and the sense of his presence. Why don't we ask for it? Doesn't the Bible say, if you will ask anything in my name, said Jesus, I will do it for you. I will give it to you. Did not James say, you have not because you ask not? Yes, we live in a state of frenzy and confusion and doubts and unbelief and make ourselves miserable simply because we don't believe God as we should. We read His word, but we don't believe it. And just like the children of Israel, it didn't profit them, the word that they heard, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Lord Jesus, give us the faith, increase our faith. Now the God of hope, may He fill us with all joy and peace in believing that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We don't want to be doubters, but we want to be believers, to believe what thus saith the Lord, in spite of our own feelings and emotions and circumstances. And Lord, teach us how to look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Teach us how to set our eyes upon Jesus and upon the cross and upon the realities of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Then our hearts will be filled with peace always, our minds and our souls. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have done for us in the past. Thank You for what You are doing for us right now in the present. Thank You for Your promises of tomorrow. We just receive of Your hand today. And my friends, wherever they are, as they're listening to this broadcast, possibly on their way to work or getting ready to go there, or to face obstacles that they would rather not face today, in these moments, may they receive a fresh touch from God that will impart peace and strength to their minds and emotions and nerves and heart. In the precious name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask it in these moments of devotion that we share together. Amen. Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. That's the words of that little chorus. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Do you remember that heartwarming story found in Exodus chapter 3? I've read it practically all of my life, and every time I reread it, it always brings a thrill and a warmth to me. And that's the story of Moses standing in front of the burning bush in chapter 3 of Exodus. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And Moses looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. I love that. Would it not be wonderful if the Lord would speak to us today and say, Son, daughter of mine, You're standing on holy ground. You are in a very sacred place as we enjoy devotions together in His presence. Do you know that a very similar experience happened to Joshua some 40 years later? And remember, Moses, when he was on the backside of the desert that day, he had been living in that area for 40 years, ever since he fled from Egypt for fear of the king, running from Pharaoh because it was found out what he had done with the Egyptian that was mistreating one of his brethren. And he fled for his life. And even though he had always felt that God would use him to be a deliverer of his people and set them free from their oppression, nothing could have seemed more hopeless or impossible that he would be the one to do it, because now he had been in the land of Midian, far away from Egypt, for 40 years. 40 years. That's a long time. And many of those years, he had been nothing more than just a shepherd, guiding the little sheep around to find green grass every day after day after day. Nothing dramatic happening. He's having no visions, no visitations of God. We don't read anywhere where God would speak to him in the middle of the night and say, "Moses, the time is drawing closer for you to be my deliverer." He just did what he had to do, and he was a shepherd for his father-in-law and took good care of the sheep until the day that God would use him to take care of the sheep of Israel. But on this particular day, 40 years after he had fled from Egypt, as he looked out after his sheep, and he saw this bush burning, but it was not consumed, and he drew nigh to it. That's when God spoke to him and said, "Take the shoes off your feet, Moses. You're standing on holy ground." And a very similar thing happened to Joshua some 40 years later, after the children of Israel, under Moses' leadership, had come through the wilderness journeyings. And now they had crossed over the River Jordan under the leadership of their new director, Joshua. And soon after they crossed the River Jordan into Canaan, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Well, maybe this morning God would speak to us and say, "You're standing on holy ground. You're standing on holy ground." And I believe we are. We don't have to see a burning bush, literally, and we don't have to see the angel of the Lord, the captain of the Lord's host, with a sword drawn to know it. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So this is holy ground, dear friend. Let's reach out by faith and touch the hem of Christ's garment and receive from Jesus all that we need. He's no respecter of persons. Believest thou this? Oh,
Precious Jesus, dipped into the oil of the Holy Ghost, it will soon. The anointing, oh, that I need, oh, sweet, sweet anointing, flowing down to make me clean. Like a mighty rushing stream, sweet, so sweet, anointing, pouring. and wild all over me. Now we lift our hands unto the Heavenly Father. Send forth rain upon this dry, this thirsty, this barren land. All our sins, please forgive. Give us life that we may start to live. Let us feel the touch of your anointed hand. Anointing flowing down to make me clean like a mighty.
Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed being with you today as we've shared together in morning devotions during the past half hour. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Our mailing address, Morning Devotions, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. I'm always happy to hear from those who are listening up there in the vast unseen audience. Have a good day. God's very best be yours.
Pouring out the oil and wine all over.